From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, oh yes, those open lines. Tonight we pass our sympathies on to the family of Coast to Coast guest Patrick Heron. He was born in Dublin in 1952. Patrick Heron has died of cancer. He was very interested in biblical prophecy, end times, and was one heck of a guest here on Coast to Coast AM. He shall be missed. In a few days, people in the Midwest and the Northern Plains will have reason to be jealous of what their countrymen in the Northeast are going through right now, digging out from as much as 2 feet of snow, dealing with the effect of blizzard-like conditions, and feeling the heat of below zero temperatures, because as cold as it is right now, it's practically tropical compared to what's coming. Think lows in the minus 20s Fahrenheit across North Dakota and Minnesota. Wind chills of minus 50 degrees or even more frigid. Sunday night in Chicago will be a brisk minus 16 to 20 degrees or even 35 to 45 below zero if you factor in the Windy City's wind conditions. It's all over the place. It's affecting nearly 140 million Americans. Meteorologist Scott Stevens with us. Scott, this is absolutely unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, but it gives us weathermen something to talk about, and that's kind of all that. Well, that's always exciting. Well, Winter Storm Hercules has now moved well off the East Coast. Those strong onshore winds that were just bringing that cold ocean spray from Maine down to the Delmarva Peninsula, that's completely relaxed as that storm now moves to the east. Cold, cold high pressure is essentially all the way along the eastern seaboard. From the St. Lawrence Seaway down to Brownsville, Texas, it's clear, still, and cold. I would not be surprised to see some pretty extensive frost on those delicate growing areas in Florida and Texas, especially Florida and southern Georgia. But as you said, that next storm is already developing across Minnesota, with that cold north wind already extending back to the Canadian Northwest Territories. And Sunday night, Monday, we fully expect to see the coldest of that probably 25 to 35 below normal weather across the upper Midwest. But, George, it's very temporary. If you can put up with the next 5 days, we'll get you above normal temperatures west of the Rockies before next week is out.
Let's hope the pipes don't all burst, huh?
You know, places like Memphis and Atlanta where they don't build to those kind of standards. They're on the edge.
They do not.
They'll be on the edge tonight.
Scott, this story is so important and so critical. I mean, at least, what, 13 people have already died because of this storm? I'm going to bring you back next hour and possibly the hour after that, okay?
Let's see what happens.
All right, Scott Stevens. The Chinese icebreaker that helped rescue passengers stranded on another vessel in Antarctica is now stuck itself in ice. And on Thursday, a helicopter from the Chinese ship transferred 52 passengers from the Russian ship to an Australian ship. So those people, those 52 passengers, they're floating away. They're going to be okay. But now the Chinese icebreaker that rescued them, it's stuck in the ice. Ah, things are warming up, right? Sunspot AR-1944, which emerged over the sun's eastern limb just a few days ago, is huge, and they say it could be dangerous. If we get a big X flare, it could come from this one. And it's coming around this way, looking right at us. That wacko who is running North Korea, the leader, Kim Jong-un, well, his very powerful uncle was stripped naked, thrown into a cage, and eaten alive by a pack of ravenous dogs. He had been considered Kim's second in command, but was executed last month after being found guilty of attempting to overthrow the state. Now tell me that Kim Jong-un won't use a nuke when he has the ballistic power to. Former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's already critical medical condition is deteriorating further as key bodily organs continue to decline. The 85-year-old Sharon, who has been in a coma for 8 years, after a devastating stroke incapacitated him at the peak of his political power, is fighting, and doctors say he's not in pain. O.J. Simpson is receiving tests for brain cancer and is begging President Barack Obama for a pardon so he can die in peace at home. The jailed former football legend, who is serving out a kidnapping, assault, and robbery sentence in a Nevada prison, is undergoing medical exams for a cancerous tumor in his brain, and he's convinced he isn't going to live that long. A publication reported just months ago that the 66-year-old had such an extreme case of diabetes that his life was at risk, and brain cancer would certainly add to his health woes. Musician Phil Everly, now the other half of the Everly Brothers, has died at the age of 74 in California. Everly died in a Los Angeles suburb of Burbank of complications from lung disease. Phil Everly and his brother Don made up the Everly Brothers, one of the biggest pop acts of the 1950s and early 60s. They had a string of close harmony hits, including this one you just heard, Wake Up Little Susie, Kathy's Clown, Bye Bye Love, and All I Have to Do is Dream. They had some great music there. The number of overweight and obese adults in the developing world has almost quadrupled to around 1 billion since 1980, according to research. Higher levels of maternal vitamin D during pregnancy have been linked to better muscle development in children. And Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke predicted a stronger year for the U.S. economy in 2014, saying several factors that have held back growth appear to be abating. He said Americans' finances have improved and the outlook for home sales is brighter. Bernanke said that he also expects less drag from federal spending cuts and tax increases. Let's check in with Michael Shedlock about this. Mish, some good news maybe?
George, what's Ben Bernanke's track record? I think you know what it is.
I do, but I want some good news.
At the housing bubble, he said there was no housing bubble. In the midst of the housing bubble, he said, you know, this is just temporary. It's going to abate. On numerous occasions, the Fed published their own reports on what they expected the unemployment rate to do. They were way over-optimistic on every one of those occasions. George, do you see any reason why we should believe Ben Bernanke now? I don't.
Maybe it's willful thinking, huh?
Willful thinking. That's what it is. Look at what's happening globally. They didn't do anything in the Eurozone to fix the fundamental crisis in the euro. China is slowing down. Housing in the U.S., yes, it's on the rebound, but why is it on the rebound? And it's because the Fed held interest rates too low again for the second time.
Well, and wait until banks,
housing bubble.
And Mish, wait till the banks.
What are they going to do?
Wait till the banks release all those foreclosed homes they've been sitting on.
Absolutely, George. Bingo. You've got it right. Wait until the banks release those. Actually, they're starting to do that. If you look at the percentage of home sales, 42% of home sales last year were all cash sales. They were all cash sales to pension funds, to investments, to people buying. George, the real people, look at what happened. Home prices have rebounded, but wages haven't. Prices have gone up. Homes are less affordable than they were a year ago, and interest rates are rising.
Yeah, it is crazy. You got it. Mish, thanks so much. By the way, Gerald Celente will be my first hour guest Sunday night as we try to sort through some of this. UFOs are sighted all around the world, of course, and on rare occasions, mass sightings of UFOs can occur. And when that happens, it's hard to convince the masses that they're seeing things. A recent flurry of UFO sightings in California has really piqued the interest and the curiosity of many. Several California residents reported seeing strange lights that they call UFOs floating or flying around the night skies over the past few evenings as well. And of course, a story we've been talking about all week, the intricate design etched in a field of barley 2 hours south of San Francisco. What the heck is it? Now, some witnesses say, hey, it was made by people. I saw 20 to 30 people with ladders in the field. Others say maybe not. In a moment, Linda Moulton Howe joins us with her investigation on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome to Coast AM. Linda Moulton Howe, of course, is our investigative reporter. If you go to her website, earthfiles.com, you will see truly this remarkable crop formation from California. It is as strange as they come. Let's check in with Linda because she's going to be with us this hour and has a report. This is a strange story, Linda.
Well, George, there are so many moving parts. And at the three Earth Files reports that I have at www.earthfiles.com, I hope that you and our Coast listeners can go and you can begin to have a feeling for the complexity of this pattern. The reports are broken into three parts, and in the third part, there are added pieces that relate to the mathematical language in this pattern. But I thought that I would start where everything started for me on December 31st, because I'm sure that you and the Coast listeners have been confused about contradictory reports,
extremely
rumors, and changing timelines. It was as if the media could not get even the date right on what happened.
And I want everyone to know, too, Linda, this is huge. This thing is almost as big as a football field.
It was measured by the retired Navy captain who has worked with me on the underground Alaska pyramid and so many things. He did a lot of analysis using Google Earth and a bunch of stuff and came up with 250 feet as the official diameter on this pattern. Now, here are some other facts. This mysterious pattern appeared early Saturday morning, December 28th. That is a fact that everybody should keep in mind because so many news media got it wrong. They got it later. The crop is barley. The diameter of that large ring that has three different size circles on it is surrounding rectangular sections. And at the center is Braille, and around the Braille is Morse code. And I'm going to talk about some of the translations of those codes, but I want to go to this quote. People with ladders were seen in the pattern that was reported by TV and other media on New Year's Eve.
And me.
Well, it's not correct, and let me give you the background. I have talked with reporter Philip Molnar from the Monterey County Herald several times, and he was physically at the barley pattern on December 31st, New Year's Eve. He was talking with two employees named Ben Johnson and his boss named Matt, without a last name, from Echelon Security. That's from San Jose, California. Echelon's headquarters are not far from NASA Ames. Echelon also has security operations in Salt Lake City and Washington, D.C. They are a major security operation. And keep that in mind when you realize that this Ben Johnson tells reporter Molnar that Echelon was hired on Saturday, December 28th, to quickly get to the Chular barley field and keep people out of the pattern.
Who sent them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who hired? This is a lot of money, and it happened right on the day that the pattern emerged for the first time. Who knew? How did they know?
I don't think the field's owner, I don't think he hired her.
They were on vacation.
That's right.
And we'll get to that. But the Echelon security people would not give Philip Molnar the name of the property owners, even then. So he, as a reporter, resorted to investigating property records and found out that the private individual owners were Scott and Debbie Anthony. They were listed as the owners, but they were not physically there on the property because they were on vacation.
And this is like a 2,000-acre farm, right?
The whole size of the farm, I'm not certain about, but I do know that the barley field was 1,050 feet long, 450 feet deep, and the 250-foot pattern was right centered on one of three telephone poles on the south along Chular Canyon Road. Now, later, after New Year's Eve, the Antonys told one Monterey Herald reporter that they had been on vacation. They knew nothing about the pattern. And when Philip Molnar called to ask him if they are the people who hired Echelon and also ordered the destruction of the barley crop on New Year's Eve, the Antonys have never returned Molnar's call, even as of today, when I last talked with him. Now, on Tuesday, December 31st, is the first time I talked with Molnar, and it was after I received email and a phone call from a California resident named Jeff Kraus. He had taken a huge leap of faith to just drive 2.5 hours from his place in San Luis Obispo in hopes of just getting into this mysterious pattern that he had seen on TV. And he called me from the telephone pole area on the south side of the barley pattern where I'm listening to him even talk with one of the Echelon security guards. And they would not let him into the pattern, but one of the guards was willing to carry Jeff's magnetometer into what we're calling the Western Circle on the ring, where the needle jumped from a low around 43 Gauss CGS units to 58 Gauss CGS units. Jeff Kraus was there with a Spanish-speaking colleague, David Mendez, and they talked with residents near this barley field and learned that on Friday to Saturday night, December 27th to 28th, dogs barked all night. And this was very unusual, the neighbors told them. Now, what about those confusing news reports on New Year's Eve that many residents saw, quote, people with ladders?
With ladders. 20 to 30 people, somebody said.
Well, listen, this is where sometimes the media is frustrating because it's rip and read news. There's no investigation. There's no reality.
That's what we have you here for.
That's right. Now, what happened? Well, you had Echelon security guards and vans arrive there on Saturday, December 28th, after the pattern emerged. And then on Sunday, December 29th, 185-year-old retiree Harry Johnson was interviewed by a local TV station and said that he saw people in the barley pattern along with one 30-foot ladder leaning against the telephone pole at the south end of the barley field. Well, Jeff Kraus and David Mendez had also talked to eyewitnesses who watched Echelon security use ropes in the pattern to apparently measure it. And that apparently took place on Sunday when Mr. Johnson, perhaps he overstated, and maybe the local TV station overstated, and that's where the, quote, people with ladders in the field. This was Echelon security working in the barley pattern after it emerged early Saturday morning, December 28th, and they were hired to keep people out and to measure it with ropes. Now, it is not exactly clear as of today, not to me, not to Molnar at the Herald in Monterey, who exactly ordered the barley pattern to be plowed under on New Year's Eve, December 31st. But it's very important that only the pattern was plowed under. The rest of the barley is still growing in that 1,050 foot wide by 400 foot deep field. Now, the barley pattern was plowed under on Tuesday, December 31st, in collaboration with Echelon Security.
On New Year's Eve.
And they told reporter Molinar they, Echelon, were ordered to make sure that the pattern was destroyed. But they would not identify who ordered the destruction. And 2 days later, on January 2nd, Sean Randall, a good friend that I've known in crop circles in England, from Woodland Hills. She called me about should she go. And in this next half hour, I'm going to share with you what she found even in that plowed field, and I'm going to go into some surprises about what is in the Braille and the Morse code.
And, of course, we're talking with Linda Moulton Howe about her investigation of that crop formation in California. We'll be back with Linda and more of her work on this incredible story. Next hour, meteorologist Scott Stevens joins us as we talk about what could very well be one of the coldest fronts to hit us in zillions of years. Welcome back, Linda Moulton Howe with us. Linda, let's continue with this incredible story of this crop formation in California.
Right, and now we're going to go to January 2, yesterday. Sean Randall lives in Woodland Hills, California, where she is a consciousness studies teacher, and she has investigated lots of English crop formations since 2002. She and I have met over there in some of the patterns. And she decided on January 2, after talking with me and some friends, that they would just take a leap of faith like Jeff Krauss did, and they would go drive over, not knowing what they would find, at where the pattern had been plowed under on New Year's Eve with the Echelon security there. And she had the goal of getting some plants and soil samples to study. And she told me on the phone today that after she was there, what, quote, what struck me in walking on to that plowed chular barley pattern was finding the smooth bends of the crop flat at the soil level, just like those magic bends of English crop formations, close quote. It's one of the things that we all have looked for. And I have a very good photograph that she took of those smooth bends from the roots to the stem of the barley. It was flat on the ground, but there are no creases, no breaks, just like we have found in England. And it's at earthfiles.com right now in part three. And the upper barley stems, where we would normally go and look for what are called nodes, swollen, node expulsions, darkened, those had been cut off by that plowing on the New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, and they were scattered. So it was not possible to match up the growth nodes in all of the cut off stems with those smooth, unbroken barley bends. However, Sean said that some nodes seem darker than normal on some of the plants, and she wonders if heat energy was involved in making the chular barley pattern. And she also gathered these soil and control samples to take back with her with this hope that she could find help from biologists in colleges and universities or agriculture agencies who might be willing to identify the exact barley species, examine the plants and the soil samples that she collected. And I'm going to give out her website, an email address that anyone listening who might be in a scientific, botany, biology, agriculture office would be willing to help her now and in any future crop circle investigations, it would be great. It's www.SeanRandall.com, and her email is Sean@SeanRandall.com. She would love to hear anybody who would be willing to help on a scientific level with what she got and gathered from the plowed over soil and those plants.
And Linda, we've got a caller for you, Scott from the Everglades in Florida, who has some information because apparently he knows that field. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Scott.
I used to work for a farming and agricultural farm down there in Salinas off of Chular Canyon Road. That field is sublet out to other people.
Yes.
And they would have to, in order to have that plowed down, would either have to have used NH3 or Western Farm Services to cut that field down.
And that fits into one of the rumors that neither the reporter at the Monterey Herald or me has been able to firm up yet. But there are rumors that that field is being used by Monsanto for some specific test.
That's who I worked for.
Okay, well then you are correct.
I delivered the chemicals to everybody in that area.
What could Monsanto be testing with that barley in that field?
Interesting.
Well, if he go away, I want to be able to get in touch with him.
Yeah, he's still here.
I will tell you this. In that area, if you ask the sheriff, you will find that there have been many cattle mutilations in the fields and the upper on the mountain.
Wow.
I know him personally, and he's told me and taken me out and shown me cattle mutilations that would shock you. Well, probably not, but
right.
I also know that I've seen glowing green orbs down there as well on the Back River Road. And my wife and I once had, on our way home from Monterey to Soledad, we had an experience of missing time.
Scott, can we give
with you so much?
Yeah, we're going to get the number for you.
You email?
No, Linda. We're going to put him on hold. We'll get his number for you and get it to you. We'll do that.
I think this is very significant because one of the rumors that both I and the other reporter have been trying to get something hard on was a rumor. I was told, he was told, that Monsanto was the one who planted the barley for some sort of a test, and that makes it even more eerie.
Maybe it's GMO barley. Could be. Genetically modified barley.
Well, if it is genetically modified, are we dealing with a series of warnings or what? Because now let's go into some of the details about the mathematical language that is embedded in this big pattern. One of the people that you've heard me interview in the past on Alaska helped me on this investigation. This is retired U.S. Naval Flight Officer Captain Mark Wood, and he has a very substantial series of titles and degrees in his background in engineering and all kinds of things that he did in the Navy. And he emailed me about studying the three different size circles on the barley pattern ring. We're now on the outside, not into the braille yet. And today he emailed me. He said, with regard to those three circles on the ring, I was not able to correlate the exact diameters of the three circles to anything relative to the other numbers encoded in the crop circle, meaning the 1, 9, and 2 that we're going to talk about in the braille. He said, the only thing that is obvious to me about the relative sizes is that in order of their size, the largest circle is at the 1 o'clock position if you look at the pattern as a clock face. The second largest circle is at the 9 o'clock position, and the smallest is at 2 o'clock. Now, one would then assume that the order of the clock position and the way those circles were put on the ring would be 1, 9, 2.
You would think so, yeah.
Now, so that is on those circles. Well, he went further. He said, I asked him about any possible astronomical configuration in the solar system that might relate to this. And he wrote, I found a program to show what the planets in our solar system would be going 192 days from December 28th into the future. And there you come to the date of July 8th, 2014. And this is what I will say, this is eerie to have seen when he sent me from that astronomy program, the image of our solar system on that day. Just using 192 because it's in the braille and it's in the outer circles.
And I bet it matches up with the crop formation.
Well, I have the photograph at earthfiles.com in part 3. You can look at it for yourself. And on July 8th, 2014, 192 days from December 28th, Earth will be at the 1 o'clock position. Venus will be at the 9 o'clock position, and Mars will be at the 2 o'clock position. And he said, you know, what in the world could, what would be so important about that date that it would be flagged in any way? Well, now, this number 192 that's in the outer circle, possibly, it gets us 192 days to a date that we didn't know it would match the configuration.
Right.
We just did this as an experiment. And now, right at the center of the pattern, everybody, I think, said it looked like Braille, and it did. Well, what did it translate to be? Channel 8, which is KSBW-TV in Monterey, they reached out to a professional Braille translator to ask for help in translating the Braille at the center of this pattern, as well as retired Australian geneticist Horace Drew, who has worked so much the last 5 or 6 years on crop circles and analyzing the math. Both the Braille translator and Horace Drew in Australia came up with the same sequence. And it's, you can look at all of this at earthfiles.com. It's all laid out very clearly. But the Braille sequence is this: 192, 192, capital letter B, according to the Braille translator, and some people say it could be a 2, 192, an extra 1, 192, 192. Well, now, we've had so many 192s from the outside going in. What could 192 relate to? At Earth Files, I have a whole series of fascinating pieces that I have found, of which there are so many more, but it just starts with things like that it is a 192 is a sum of 10 consecutive prime numbers. Iridium 192 is a radioactive isotope of iridium with a half-life of 73 days, and it is related to being a strong gamma ray emitter. Iridium 192 is commonly used as a gamma ray source in industrial radiography, but more than that, perhaps, it is iridium 192 that has accounted for the majority of cases tracked by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission in which radioactive materials have gone missing in quantities large enough to make a dirty bomb.
Oh, really?
Now, is this a warning?
Here's a
very interesting thing.
Interesting
thing. Jeff Krause was stopped by that echelon security guard who would not let him go into the pattern on December 31st in the morning. And Jeff said that the security guard said to him that he thought that it was a menace or menacing and a warning. Now, you would assume that the security guard would be echoing something from somebody who told them why they were going out there to guard the pattern, right?
You think so.
Well, along this line of menace and warning, could the Iridium 192 itself be the focus, or something about Fukushima radioactivity? That's a question mark in all this. But it goes to a very other interesting angle. 192 ends up as a number that you find in IP address private networks, in advanced encryption standards, in cryptography. 192 is the internet network transmission designation and bandwidth. You start finding that there's a lot of 192 related to network line transmission speeds, connections with ISP backbones, where this is all of our computer networks. There's even a 192 asteroid. It was discovered April 14th, 2007, and right now it's out in orbiting between Mars and Jupiter. Not considered a threat, but it's 192, an asteroid in our solar system. Well, the computer aspect I'm going to talk about in a moment, but I want to and the 192 sequence right now was something that really surprised me. There is a number 192 memorandum, National Security Action, by President John F. Kennedy. It is entitled A Separate Arms Control Measure for Outer Space. It was written on October 2nd, 1962, and it was addressed to the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Director of Central Intelligence, the Director of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, which is NASA, the Director of the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, and with copies to George McBundy, Johnson, the Vice President, to Schlesinger, and this was focused around the issues of getting comments from the Joint Chiefs of Staff having to do with a separate arms control measure for outer space initiated by John F. Kennedy. It is 192 as well. So there's computer, there is space involved in these numbers so far. Now, when you go to the Morse code on the photos that you can see at Earth Files, you see another rectangle of what looks like code around the inner braille. And it turns out when Horace Drew did an analysis of the Morse code, he came up with the letters E period, T period, the letter B, and then the letters ISON, like the comet recently, and finally STS, which might refer to space. It might refer to computers.
Sounds like a space shuttle launch. Huh?
Exactly. But today, on January 3rd, I received a fascinating email from an Oregon ham operator about different Morse code translations where you can go clockwise, counterclockwise in international Morse code versus clockwise and counterclockwise in American Morse code. Now, at Earth Files, you can see the whole email. You can see how he translated it. And he said, what's interesting is that the combination that you get out of this in letters, it doesn't make any logical sense at this point, but it is there to contemplate, because he also says that in his analysis, the circles on the ring, the outer circles appear to be orbital information, which would tie in to Mark Wood's work, indicating the time of arrival in that region. And there is one last series of images that came from a man who said, compare the pattern in Chlar with a real camera CCD sensor module that is not made public. He put a photo in there. He describes the photo. And George, it is one of these patterns that I have now shared with you, some very intelligent people coming at this from many different levels, and there are at least two major codes in the center. There may be a third outside of the second, with those three circles positioned in the 192 on the outer ring. If it does have something to do with astronomy, is Mark Wood's finding 192 days onto July 14th of this new year, when Mars, Venus, and Earth are in the 192 position that is in that pattern? And if so, what in the world does it mean? I'm not going to let go of this. I'm going to continue. I would love anybody listening who might have more information to email me at earthfiles
at earthfiles.com.